From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Wednesday, November 12th. I'm Abby Larico. Pokemon Go is a rare type of video game in that it gets people outside to play it. One of the game's community ambassadors says it also helps bring people together.
And you see everybody just talking to each other, like there is not any like wall between everybody. Everybody wants to connect.
You gotta catch this story coming up after this news on The Gateway. St. Louis Public Schools is working towards reopening three of its seven tornado-damaged schools. That means some students could return to their home schools as early as January. St. Louis Public Radio's Hiba Ahmed reports.
The three schools include Washington Montessori Elementary, Yateman Lydell Middle, and Beaumont High. The remaining four schools will reopen in late 2026. School board members were able to tour the damaged schools in recent weeks. Here's board member Brian Marston reflecting on what he saw during a public meeting on Monday.
You know, Ashland was hit really hard by not just the tornado, but by people who went in after the tornado and ripped out anything metal they could get their hands on.
The repairs are scheduled to be completed next month, which is when the school board will give its final approval on whether the schools can reopen after winter break. I'm Hiba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
Missouri policies targeting LGBTQ+ residents have cost the state in population loss and money. That's according to studies from advocates and a national think tank. Salisa Kalakal has more.
The Movement Advancement Project, which tracks laws related to LGBTQ+ people, estimates that Missouri lost between $362 million and $879 million in household income because of laws that target gay and transgender people, and the figure is expected to increase. Their national survey found 39% of young people identifying as LGBTQ+ have considered moving to a new state because of the policies. A previous survey by the National Center for Transgender Equality put Missouri among the top 10 states that respondents left because of anti-trans laws. I'm Salisa Kalakal.
Some people in the St. Louis area are beginning to receive money through the Radiation Exposure Compensation Act. Dawn Chapman is co-founder of Just Moms STL. She says people were skeptical at first when it came to applying for the compensation, but interest is growing. She says she's heard from at least 40 people who have received deposits and hundreds whose claims have been approved.
People need to know this is a real program and it's compensating real people. There's a mistrust in the government and sometimes people are reluctant. And I want them to know this is running the way it should.
The act was expanded in July to include 21 zip codes in St. Louis City and County and St. Charles County. The U.S. Department of Justice reports that since then, more than $8 million have been approved for those impacted by Manhattan Project waste contamination. Municipal leaders throughout St. Louis are trying to fill in gaps caused by the federal government shutdown. While Congress may come to a deal soon to end the shutdown, residents who depend on programs like SNAP may not receive their benefits right away. That's prompting the City of St. Charles to not disconnect water or sewer services throughout November and December. St. Charles Director of Administration Larry Dubrowski says the city and the city's employees are trying to raise money to help people affected by the shutdown.
So we're hoping to generate $125,000 over the next 2 weeks that we'll give to some of the agencies, again, for rents, for utilities, for food.
The Senate has approved a funding package, and NPR reports a House vote is expected today on day 43 of the shutdown. A St. Charles group is seeking to add a referendum to the next election that, if approved, would give voters a say in the sale of public parks. They collected more than 4,600 signatures for the initiative, but as St. Louis Public Radio's Kayvon Mansouri reports, the group may still need more.
Organizers of the Save the Parks group hope to alter the St. Charles Charter, requiring a citywide vote anytime the city hopes to put publicly owned parks up for sale. The worry comes after the recent sale of Mueller Park in the city. The park was well known for its soccer fields. For the petition to be successful, the group needed to collect 10% of registered voters from the previous election. Natalie Salinas helped collect the signatures.
And it just seems like every time we turned around, there was discussion of the parks and what piece of land they were going to take next.
But the group says after turning in the petition, the City of St. Charles told them they need even more signatures. Selena says the group will get more time to collect the almost 200 additional signatures needed for the petition. I'm Kayvon Mansouri, St. Louis Public Radio.
This week, there are several hearings in the legal challenges to Missouri's mid-decade redistricting effort. The three lawsuits could decide the fate of Missouri's newly gerrymandered congressional map. Today, the Cole County Circuit Court will hear a lawsuit arguing the state constitution prohibits mid-decade redistricting. Tomorrow, the court will hear another case in which People Not Politicians, the group running the campaign to overturn the state's new map, is suing Secretary of State Denny Hoskins over his rejection of petitions for a public vote. And the state is also expected to file additional documents in a federal lawsuit from Attorney General Catherine Hanaway asking that congressional redistricting plans be declared off limits for public vote. That case is scheduled for a trial November 25th in St. Louis. People Not Politicians has asked the court to dismiss it. Last call could be coming a little earlier at bars in Alton. A city council committee has recommended shutting down late-night liquor sales after 1 a.m. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports the full council is expected to adopt the resolution at a meeting tonight.
The city's mayor and police chief say sales until 2 a.m. on weekdays and 3 on weekends have led to drunken behavior and more crime downtown. To curb that, the city already revoked 2 late-night licenses and added extra policing. But Madison County State's Attorney Tom Hain, an Alton resident, argued that's not sustainable for the city.
At some point, the city council, and I think this is the point, would need to step in to end that cycle. Why? Because it's a very, very dangerous cycle. And it's also preventing our downtown from developing in other ways.
But a handful of bar owners and employees see it differently. They worry eliminating peak hours could kill sales and lead to their business's closure. In Alton, I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
The mobile game Pokemon Go has been out for more than 9 years now. It allows people to spend time outside while playing a video game. Some are still going outside. Finnegan Bello caught up with a group organizing regular meetups to play the game in Columbia, Missouri.
113 people have RSVP'd to a so-called Pokemon Go Raid Day at Columbia's Cosmo Bethel Park. Even though it's pouring rain, players cram under a pavilion, looking at their phones and waiting to team up. These meetups happen every week or so, and this one is particularly appealing. Players have the chance to acquire a powerful form of one of the game's strongest creatures, Rayquaza. It's a legendary Pokemon that looks like a flying green serpent with gold threads trailing off its body. Players are watching for the top of the hour. That's when raids unlock and they can join forces to battle Rayquaza. If the players win, they get a chance to try and catch it. Then everyone leaves the pavilion and walks around to join more raids scattered around the park. Many of today's players are hoping for a rare, shiny version of Rayquaza. 13-year-old Jensen Mormon has come to the event with his father. He captures the shiny one before leaving the pavilion.
So a shiny is a variation of color from the original Pokemon. For example, Rayquaza, this one is black. And yeah, it's very cool. It's kind of, well, I mean, sometimes they're rare, but most of the time, like today, it's a 1 in 10 chance. So it's not as rare, but it's still pretty rare.
We are going to go to the right, okay?
Providing some structure amidst the downpour is Hazer Pishkar. He's a Pokemon Go community ambassador, a volunteer tasked by the game's developer to host meetups and ensure everything goes smoothly.
We start with that one, okay? All right, just pay attention.
When Pokemon Go first came out, Pishkar lived in Guatemala. He immigrated to Missouri about a month later, and he says the game helped him connect with the local community. The meetups started a lot smaller and mostly happened at Stevens Lake Park. Over time, though, the group size grew, events migrated to Cosmo Bethel Park, and Pishkar became one of the group's leaders. He says his favorite part of the work is watching all the players team up and form friendships.
Now seeing more than 50 sometimes, sometimes like 80 people at the park, and you see everybody just talking to each other, like there is not any like wall between everybody. Everybody wants to connect.
Kelly Vella is a visiting fellow at the Queensland University of Technology in Australia. She studies games and their effects on social connectedness, and she observed Pokemon Go when the game was its most popular just after release. She says some socially anxious players have used Pokemon Go to work past their struggles talking to others in person. Family members who played the game also grew closer. Vela says some of that may be because of the intergenerational nature of the Pokemon franchise.
I think as well because it was an outdoor gameplay that people who wouldn't typically play video games saw this as a sort of safer bridge or something they could encourage with their children.
Meanwhile, the Columbia Pokemon hunters scatter off in separate groups walking around the park's fishing lake. Pokemon Go's popularity may have peaked in 2016. But on this rainy fall day in Colombia, players still seeking rare Pokemon and connection with fellow gamers hold umbrellas for one another to protect phone screens from the rain. I'm Finnegan Bellow.
That story comes to us from member station KBIA in Colombia. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Theme music is by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur, but this is the Pokemon theme song. I'm Abby Larico. Thanks for listening to The Gateway. Hope your day is the very best.